question. It's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Hugh Keevans, Cammy Bell and Gordon Diel are here to look back on today's action and or preview tomorrow's. There is a lot to get through. We want that immediate reaction to today. You're coming out the game, maybe you're at Firhill and you think this could be a big turning point. St Johnstone dropping points last night, we win today, Jags for promotion. Or is it not quite that simple? In the title race, it was all eyes on Tynecastle today, so Hearts fans, love to hear from you on how important you thought that was. And then I guess Celtic and Rangers fans, what it means for you and how much the pressure goes on tomorrow. And once we get to tomorrow, Kasper Schmeichel, start or not start? That's the question for you Celtic fans tonight. Please give us a call and we'll speak to you very soon. Brian is a Partick Thistle fan. Brian, does this feel like a big weekend?
It's great points. Under Mark and Alex, we're playing absolutely brilliant. But what I think is the game against them on the cup tie, if we can beat them, then I think we will get promotion. If they can't beat Sutton, there's no point in us being out there.
What?
How do you want that out?
Explain that logic. So if Premiership and League Cup winning St Mirren knock you out of the Scottish Cup, then that means you can't win the league either?
No, I'm just saying we shouldn't be entitled to be into the Premier League. Because St Mirren are having a bad time. Yeah,
I mean, they're still favourites to beat you. You know, that's just the way it works, isn't it?
That goes for nothing. Celtic and Rangers have been favourites all season to beat this team, that team, and they've got totally defeated. Do you know what I mean?
Not entirely, if I'm being honest.
Brian, you've got a totally miserable attitude towards your team.
See, if Hugh Keevans is saying that, that's a worry.
If you start the conversation by paying tribute to Alec and to Mark for the job they've done, and Partick Thistle are playing really well, you're 3 points off the leaders. Surely you give them credit for what they are doing in the division where they live. The Scottish Cup tie is neither here nor there in terms of the promotion bid.
And Thistle will have to play that tie without the players on loan from St Mirren.
Yeah, and plus the fact they're playing away from home, right? And Hugh made a good point there. Partick Thistle right now are a championship side. They're based on the pay championship wages.
And then some.
Yeah. If they did get promotion, obviously money comes into play, more sponsor, everything, they get better quality players. I don't know where Brian's going with that. I think that's, he does, you know, compliment Mark and Alex about the way they're going about their business. Rightly so, because if you're a Partick Thistle fan, you must be delighted so far. But I don't know where he's going with the cup one.
Brian, how do you rate your chances of promotion at this point?
What I was trying to point out, if we can't beat a team like St Mirren, what chances are we going to have against teams like Hearts, Rangers, Celtic?
Just worry about that if it ever happens. Yeah. That might be the most Scottish mindset of all time.
Do you think Falkirk said that last year?
Let's not get promoted in case we can't beat Hearts. Yeah, that's not the way it works.
No. Listen, for me, Brian, I think you've got to enjoy what you're doing at the moment. It was a brilliant win for Partick Thistle today. They're right on the tails of St Johnstone. You're right in the fight for getting automatic promotion. So just enjoy it. I think that comment there, listen, Daz said it there. Everything changes once you get promoted. Your budget gets bigger. You're able to bring in better players. You can get better loan players from other teams as well. So everything absolutely changes if you manage to get promoted next season. So just enjoy this moment.
This was a weekend that improved Partick Thistle's chances, obviously. St Johnstone failing to win last night, drawing at Raith Rovers, Partick Thistle winning today, and that does mean the gap is now, it's 3 points. They've played the same amount of games, so St Johnstone are obviously still favourites. But do you ever know if it's a momentum shift, or is there just too many twists and turns in the championship? Because this has happened
too many twists and turns. I watched St Johnstone parts of it last night, wasn't greatly impressed with them. Look, there's a lot of teams there that can take points off you. Whether they finish, like, they've got a great opportunity finishing first, no doubt, but you would still say slightly St Johnstone's favourites, because in the January window they went and added a few good players to their squad. But the important thing for Thistle is if they can't win it, finish second. Because I remember under Brian Graham they were the fourth in the playoffs and they were doing very, very well. but they ran out of steam. Too many injuries, didn't have the squad to get through the playoff games, too many games for them. So the worst scenario, finish second, but Mark and Alec have put themselves in a great position here to go and win the thing.
Thank you very much to Brian on the line. What about the top of the Premiership though? Hearts won today, over to Celtic and Rangers tomorrow. Stevie's in Gallahill, what are you thinking, Stevie?
He's doing what? How's it going?
Good, Stevie.
Well, what I'll say is, I watched the Hearts and the Falkirk game today, and the Falkirk were brilliant, by the way. First half, they were fantastic. Should have probably been 2 or 3 up. However, what I'm really disappointed in, and this is Scottish football at its best, towards the end of the game, Hearts are winning 1-0. And the Hearts players were dropping like flies. Right, I mean, they were doing, oh, I've got cramp, I've got this cramp, I've got that, and I've got this. And I said, this is unbelievable. Honestly, I think that Scottish football is becoming a joke now.
Stevie, do you know what is bad about Scottish football is the hypocrisy. See, if a couple of Rangers players waste some time and it allows you to beat Celtic next week, you'll be jumping up and down your living room celebrating it. What? Don't pretend you won't be. What's the point?
Help the Celtic players back up, so well, to not, make it a contest.
Not a chance, Stevie. Not a chance. See, if it's the last day of the season, three teams are in it, and Rangers take a bit of time over things and run down the clock and win the game and win the league, you will not care a jot.
Today was a joke, right? Now, what I'm saying, let me get my point across here. Hearts were dropping like flies. Now, Scottish football is, I'm not going down the conspiracy route, right?
Good.
No, it's in that, right? I'm not going to say that, but Celtic get demolished overnight there, right? Now, it just shows you what, I mean, if we get down the route with these referees again, and Celtic are going into Europe, even Rangers, our Hearts, we're going to get demolished. And that's my point of view.
You've managed to find on this programme,
is it a full moon tonight or something?
Two grumpy old men who make me look like Kevin Bridges. I mean, that he was going down the conspiracy route. A load of old tripe. On to the next caller.
But listen, see the thing about Hearts, maybe they were wasting a bit of time or whatever. Who cares, Cammy? Like, seriously, that annoys you when it's against your team. But that stuff only holds water if your team would never do that. And it's just not the case. Like, everybody, it always suits people up to a point, and then you get annoyed when other teams do it. Hearts are 1-0 up at home. They're trying to win a league. They're hanging on a wee bit. End of story.
Every team does it. There's no getting away from it. Every team does it. It's game management. That's ultimately what it is. They manage the game. It's up to the referee to make the decision whether he's properly injured. If the physio comes on, he would obviously need to leave the pitch. So, listen, that's just game management for me. It's happened for years. It will continuously happen. You can, as a referee, judge if somebody's injured or not. If they go down, the physio needs to come on, then so be it. So listen, you see it all the time, and as I say, part of that is drilled into them through management as well, because they've got to get the 3 points. It was so important for Hearts today, and Rangers, Celtic, anybody else would do the exact same to get the 3 points.
How big a win was this, or how important a win was this for Hearts? For Hearts today,
huge, monumental, because had they drawn or lost, then there was a prospect of Rangers being top tomorrow night. So all they can do, we can argue all we like about budgets, this, that, the other. All that Hearts can do is keep going. They've had their injury problems and they have overcome them to a degree. But all they can do is keep going while knowing that the two teams beneath them are still breathing down their neck.
It was a big one, Hugh, because a lot of people would have been looking at this game thinking, right, if Hearts had to drop anything today after Rangers, the bubbles burst.
Yeah, 100%.
That is exactly what you were going to get. They didn't look, it wasn't a convincing victory, but it's 3 points in the bag, move on. Another game ticked off. And if Rangers were winning with a couple of minutes to go, I think Steve would go down with cramp as well, to be quite honest with you.
In many ways, it was just probably quite typical of what we've come to get from Hearts recently, in the sense that nobody's celebrating the performance. They're not battering teams. And for some people, that's the sign that they won't win it. You know, not sort of convincing enough, not swashbuckling enough. But for other people, they spin it the other way and say, but they get the job done. And it's not like they're just getting the job done in October. It's, you know, it's the end of February. So if maybe they can keep doing this till the end of the season.
Yeah, they can for me. I think they're masters of it. They know how to do it. Derek McInnes is a manager that's been round the block. Again, the messages of players going down and slowing the game up, taking control of the game again with your game management, they'll be coming from the manager. And there's nothing wrong with that, because ultimately it's about getting the 3 points. And that's all Hearts need to do between now and the end of the season, is get 3 points week in, week out, and they'll be champions. So it's not going to be as easy as that. I think that the doubt's there because it's very, very closely contested with the three teams at the top.
And a little bit of sort of adversity to overcome, Gordon. We all act like it's a big deal when Lauren Shankland and Cammy Devlin drop out of the team, and it is. But then we forget about it almost, and you kind of move on. But today, Agu, who's the record signing, they're hoping that he can help give them a spark towards the end of the season. He pulls out minutes before kickoff. Stuart Finlay goes off injured. Benny Beningame didn't play today. Back to kind of what we spoke about at the start. Hearts have been top 21 weeks now, but they still don't have anywhere near the resources of Celtic and Rangers. So when they get injuries, it is going to hit them harder. It is going to stretch them further. And they've come through that today.
Oh, they've done brilliantly, because Falkirk was always going to be a difficult game, Gordon. They go there, Hearts are firm favourites. Falkirk, Stevie said he watched the game, obviously he was at Tynecastle, and said that Falkirk played particularly well. But it's all about just getting the results. And Derek will be delighted when he gets some of those big hitters back. He'll be a bit concerned about Finlay going off. Hopefully for Hearts it's just a slight niggle, because his partnership with Halkett in the centre of defence has been so, so important for them. So they have got good players. They have got a good squad. They've not got the riches of Celtic or Rangers, but they're up there on merit.
I like the way this is swinging tonight. Thank you to Stevie for his thoughts. We go back to the top of the Championship, where Nathan is a Partick Thistle fan. Nathan, big win today, given St Johnstone slipped up last night.
Aye, how you doing, panel? Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I was a big 3 points today. I just kind of want to briefly touch on what the first Thistle fan was talking about. Brian, I don't know what pub he's sitting in the room, man, but I think he needs to put his drink down and go up the road. I don't actually think the job that Alex Ray and Mark Wilson are doing it for how it's getting talked about enough, to be brutally honest with you. And you think about St Johnstone probably just went and spent their money in January than we've been able to spend all season. Do you know what I mean? And to be, like, no drop many names, but Jonathan Sutherland is a prime example. Do you know what I mean? Say every week that St Johnstone are the runaway leaders, but they've never ran away from him. Do you know what I mean? Thistle have been kind of nipping at their heels all week, all season. So now it's back down to 3 points. Both of us are playing on Tuesday night. We need to play them at Fir Hill very soon. So I just think that it's kind of heating up quite nicely. But the job that's going on at Fir Hill now has just been unbelievable.
Do you know what's more remarkable about it? I had a chat with Martin this morning. I was on the phone to him. And I read his interview the other day there. You're right, St Johnstone, Nathan, they had the luxury of going and taking Queen's Park's best player, right?
And brought in Aggie Mann and Rory Payton.
Yeah. Mark's at a situation with Partick that he has to even the books. He's having to let players go out to get the money to make sure that the books are level for Partick Thistle when they're going for promotion. So the job that the two of them are doing there is remarkable. I've seen their squad at the start of season, pre-season, and I've got to say, I remember saying to Mark, if you finish in the top five, top six here, you'll be doing a fantastic job. They're in with a chance of winning this championship.
I commend Mark Wilson in particular for this reason. It was his third chance at football management, and he knew he had to make it successful. And he knew he had to leave this programme behind and not combine the two and not have fans say, yeah, he spends too much time in that radio. He took his chance to prove that he can be a top class football manager. And he's there, 3 points off the top of the Championship on, as Daz has pointed out, limited resources. Absolutely fantastic job he and Alec are doing.
Thank you very much to Nathan from Kilsyth, 01419511025. What about tomorrow's action? Celtic against Hibs, and Celtic fans, the question is a simple one. We want to know tonight, does Kasper Schmeichel start the game tomorrow or not? Call us right now with your answer on 01419511025 and we'll hear from you next.
Are over, the talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Hugh Keevans, Cammy Bell and Gordon DL are in the studio. We're asking you, Celtic fans, would you start Kasper Schmeichel tomorrow or not? You three, get us up and running in the studio.
Not for me. I think being a fantastic goalkeeper, he's still got a little bit left in him. I think that maybe by the time the end of season comes, he may look at hanging up his gloves. I just think his confidence has gone, Gordon. He looks like a guy that's shattered. He looks like a guy whose confidence is gone. I would be looking to make that change.
You worried me when you said shattered there, I must admit. But
Cammy,
what do you think? Drop him tomorrow or not?
Do I think he will be dropped? I don't think he will be dropped.
But you think he should be?
Yeah, I think there's a time to take him out of the team. And I think this is probably a moment that they could take him out of the team tomorrow. Just allow him to reset. And again, we've seen it happen, obviously, with Jack Butland last season. He had a period where he had to come out of the team and then came back stronger from that. So yeah, I think probably looking at this moment for Kasper, it maybe is just a time to reset and take him out of the team.
I tried to float the scenario that he could be an honest professional, go to Martin Neil and say, look, we both know I shouldn't play. But the two professionals in the studio with me have said that's not how players think. And on that basis, Martin Neil will start the game against Hibs with Kasper Schmeichel.
It's going to be interesting then. Give us your thoughts on that, Celtic fans. And Let us know if you agree with the guys. So you all think he should be dropped though, but yeah, None of you think he will be.
I sort of go down that road. I think that I would leave him out. I would leave him out, but I think Martin won't
leave him out tomorrow.
No.
Wonder if there's anyone out there who does think he should stay in, because maybe we've not seen a lot of Sina Salo. But then is that harsh on him? Doesn't mean he's not deserving of the chance.
Not necessarily Sina Salo either. I mean, Ross Doohan's there.
Yeah, it's going to be Sina Salo though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you pay regionally £1 million, right? You've got a goalkeeper there that's sitting watching howler after howler, and he must be saying to himself, when's it my turn to get a chance here?
Michael is on the line. What would you do, Michael? Sorry, Michael, I think that's my fault. Have we got you now?
Yeah, I've got you.
That was my fault. Take us away. Would you drop him tomorrow?
I would definitely drop him. He's been really poor all season, and it's having an effect on the central defence. You see, trusted a nervous Greg in front of him. And his distribution of the ball has been absolutely hopeless. He definitely go for a ball in the six-yard box. You'll notice opposing players surround other goalkeepers. They don't surround Spiegel because you know he's not going to move at the six-yard box or in the six-yard box. He's staying on his line. And he's been like that all season. Thank the big guy for his services, but with Ibrox in mind as well, our reserve keeper needs some game time. Obviously we've got the away tie in Stuttgart as well to come, so he needs to bring the reserve keeper in tomorrow, and Schmeichel needs to go back to the drawing board, I think. I think he's carrying an injury with his shoulder, because you see a lot of the time he can't move on one side. He can't get up for the ball.
Do you think it is just one side though, Michael? Because we mentioned this last night. People keep talking about the left side. Mikey Moore's goal goes right through him on his right side against Rangers. The Scottish Cup final one against Aberdeen, it's his right hand that he comes out and flaps with. So is it that simple, do you think?
I think he's definitely carrying some sort of injury, because he is flapping the Mikey Moore one, and then the ones last week. I mean, and then in Europe the other week. You know, I blame him for the four goals. I think he could have done better with the forum. I just think he's really lost it now. And as I said, it's causing mayhem in defence, because Trusty and a nervous wreck in front of him. The central defence don't have any faith in him.
I think, to be fair, Trusty can look a nervous wreck on his own without any help from the goalkeeper. I think it's a nightmare situation for Martin O'Neill, because you've got an important game against Hibs. very important. They haven't won at Celtic in the league for 16 years, but they have a very good chance tomorrow. And then, for me, I repeat, I fear for Celtic in Germany against Stuttgart. If Sinisalo were to play there, then what might it do to his confidence ahead of a league game against Rangers that is monumentally important?
Well, forget that, Hugh. You're talking about what it would do for his confidence. I think if he doesn't get picked tomorrow, he must be sitting there thinking, I'm not in the plans under Martin O'Neill here. I'll need to wait for a new manager coming in. Because I think everybody agrees, we're not criticising Schmeichel as a goalkeeper. His form just now is not there. He doesn't look mobile enough to me. It looks like any shot that's come towards him has got a chance of hitting the back of the net. And the sad thing about it is, and I hate it, I watched the game the other night there, and near the end he made a save, and a simple save, and fans are starting to cheer.
Good,
no,
yeah.
So listen, as a strong character, I'll even get to
but
him.
But then even Michael there, and I think it's very harsh blaming him for all four goals. But again, when you start making mistakes as a goalkeeper, you become a target. So again, you look at, could he saved all four goals? Listen, there's a possibility of saving any goal, but I think there's certainly two within the game that I mentioned, the first and the third, that he is at fault with.
See,
he understands that.
The point about the distribution, is that, yeah, is that an issue as well, where if that's dropped off? Because I'm not saying you put up with a goalie that can't save the ball, right? Mm. That's a bit of an issue. Yeah. It's quite an important skill. But when he was first signed, it was seen as being a real strength. And I'm also, I don't think anyone should rewrite history here, because I noticed last night a lot of Celtic fans love Joe Hart and they love the character, and they kind of, you know, idolise him, and now Schmeichel's getting it. I typed into my search bar on Twitter or X this morning, Schmeichel upgrade Hart, and there are dozens of tweets from when Kasper Schmeichel first came in at Celtic, mm-hmm, from Celtic fans saying he's an upgrade on Joe Hart. Mm-hmm. At the time, everybody said he was better than Joe Hart when he came in. Yeah. But is the distribution gone as well?
Yeah, I think his distribution recently has been poor. And again, I was at the game on Sunday against Kilmarnock, and you see it live. He likes to do things quick, and I get that, but you've got to be accurate when you do that, and especially when you're having a tough time of it. I think there's also a period where you can slow things down. Make sure you do things, I'm not just saying safe, but make sure your passes, your distribution is going to one of your teammates, because ultimately they're small things that the fans will jump on. If you're having a bad time as a goalkeeper saving the ball, if you're giving the ball away also when you're in control of it, that's an issue for me. You speak about confidence, he is lacking in confidence. You can see that. I think distribution, saving the ball, making mistakes, he's under a lot of pressure and scrutiny at this moment in time.
Okay, Michael, you've said he should. The guys are splitting this into two different arguments, which I get, because I think a lot of people will do this. The guys all agree with you that he should be dropped, but they don't think he will be tomorrow. Do you agree with that? Do you think Martin O'Neill sticks by him?
Actually, I don't think he'll stick by him. I think he stuck by him. I think he stuck by him previously, but after Thursday night show, and I think he's got to drop him. To be honest with you, I don't think it's fair if he on Schmeichel if he doesn't. Because he's putting him out there. His guy's clearly no fit. His confidence is gone, and he really needs to take time off and try and recoup. And hopefully, the reserve goalkeeper will be in place tomorrow and get some game time ready for Thursday night and for next Sunday.
It's not. This will be the headline team selection, but just out of curiosity, whilst we're here, do you think we'll get a first start for Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain?
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yep.
Guaranteed.
Yeah. Look,
45 minutes last week and then couldn't play in Europe midweek.
Yeah, and plus the fact you're looking, Bernardo come in on Thursday, get substituted. Hatate come on. He just doesn't look anywhere near the player that we all know he is. So I think it's a great opportunity.
After what happened to Celtic against Stuttgart, they need an immediate spark tomorrow. If Sinisalo plays, he had better have a really good game. Otherwise,
it's almost separate though, isn't it? Because the title race is so important. Because see, even if Celtic had beaten Stuttgart, if they drop points tomorrow, it would still be seen as, you know, as a disaster. In the context of the title race.
That's why Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain must play. He can't play in Hamburg, Stuttgart next Thursday night, because he's not in the European squad. So let him loose tomorrow, and he'll need to play against Rangers next weekend.
Okay, thank you to Michael. Paddy, everyone seems to say that he should be dropped tomorrow. Kasper Schmeichel, what's your take on it?
Well, I'm two mates, but I've come to a sort of opinion that he'll play him. It's just too much at stake. Really high pressure game, and there's they're all going to be high pressure games. And okay, he had a miserable night the other night, but yeah, I think he'd probably sit down and talk to Martin O'Neill. I would imagine that they're just both of them very along the tooth. What concerns me a bit about Martin O'Neill, as far as I remember from the past, he had a bit of a blind spot when it came to keepers, you know.
Cammy, talk to us about the dynamic, because everybody knows it's just different from other positions. There is only one, and you know, everything that goes into that. Is it harder because he's Kasper Schmeichel?
Yes.
And then what can that send sort of negative shockwaves around the dressing room, or do you know what I mean? Is there more to consider than just the form? That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, no, I think it's again, you've got a goalkeeper with a huge amount of experience internationally. He's been brilliant for Celtic in periods as well. I don't think you can just look at that as well, but I think it does make the decision really difficult. Ultimately, if we're talking about a young goalkeeper, or Sinisalo's in goals at the moment and he's making mistakes, it's easier to drop these guys. They've not got such a high profile and an influence in the dressing room. It's a difficult one because it is such a specialist position. Sinisalo will be waiting for his opportunity, but he'll understand as well that he's up against an international goalie that's got so many caps for Denmark. He's played so many club games as well and huge amount of experience, that's going through a rough period. So it'll be interesting, because Paddy's right, there's a huge amount of pressure on these games, and when there's scrutiny on a goalkeeper that gets pulled out the equation, the goalie that goes in gets a huge amount of scrutiny put on him as well. So there's that pressure that Sinisalo needs to deal with, but if it is him.
But there's pressure on Martin O'Neill tomorrow if he makes that decision.
Yeah.
Because if they go out there and it's a tight game and he makes another error, then people are going to question Martin O'Neill's judgment of why everybody can see that Schmeichel is not in anywhere near top form. Why we continue
then,
the goal?
Then you flip it and you go, Sinisalo goes in, makes a mistake that costs him the game. It's a really difficult decision for Martin O'Neill, because we spoke about this before in goalkeeping positions. The scrutiny is completely, no matter what decision he makes tomorrow, everyone's looking at the goalkeeper.
Am I right in saying Jack Butland got taken out for Liam Kelly an Old Firm game last season, towards the end of the season? I feel like we probably had similar discussions then of like, is he too big a character or too big a name or whatever to take out.
Martin O'Neill for me is, this is not an ageist argument, he simply is an older guy, and managers from back in the day tended not to drop players if they thought someone was going to say, oh, he's responding to the crowd. Martin O'Neill might think, I stand by him, I don't care who booed him and why they booed him, and the ironic jeering when he saved the ball.
I don't think he'll make that decision on that, Hugh. I think Martin O'Neill, you talk about the older generation, he's a very experienced manager. He'll have a look at Schmeichel over the last couple of days, but he'll make the decision on the actual performance of Schmeichel. He'll think, hold on a minute, this guy has got the character, he will come out this tomorrow, fine. Me personally, if I'm the reserve goalkeeper, I've been brought in for £1 million, right, I've not played a lot of games, but he's still a Finnish internationalist. You're sitting there watching a goalkeeper having howler after howler. I'm sorry, but I'm chapping the door saying it's my chance.
Thank you, Paddy, who thinks Kasper Schmeichel will stay in. What about Laurie on the line? Hi, Laurie.
As always, for taking my call. My attitude towards Kasper Schmeichel is, I'm inclined to agree with the previous caller, Paddy, and Hugh. I think there's too much at stake here for Martin O'Neill to be left second-guessing between Schmeichel and the young Finnish goalkeeper. I think Schmeichel will start. I think he'll be determined to atone for perhaps a couple of faults during the week. So I expect Kasper Schmeichel to be between the posts tomorrow. The main point I wanted to make, however, Gordon, was that as they say, every cloud has got a silver lining. Now, as disappointed as it was that we lost to Stuttgart on Thursday, it matters not one jot to me what happens in the next game in Germany. What we have got to do is prioritise the league. And I think, in fact, it is a blessing in disguise because it eases the fixture congestion. I can remember a couple of precedents here. I remember when Celtic went to Seville, and I remember when Rangers went to Manchester when they played in St. Petersburg. The common denominator in both instances was fixture congestion, and arguably, Celtic and Rangers did not win the titles in those seasons, owing, in my opinion, to fixture congestion.
Well, it is what it is, though, Laurie. They have to go there and play Stuttgart, and you have to care about what happens in Germany because it's the match before an Old Firm game, and Stuttgart came and wiped the floor with Celtic at Celtic Park. There is every likelihood they will wipe the floor with Celtic in Germany as well. The goalkeeping position becomes very, very important because if Sinisalo is thrust into that match, well, you have to hope that he has a very strong night and those in front of him manage to give him a bit of support.
No, but I can't understand about that, Hugh. And I hear Laurie and I can totally take on board his point. See, if you're involved with Celtic, you can't pick and choose when you want to be in Europe. If you go and see Celtic supporters next year, by the way, you're not in Europe. Hold on a minute. That's what the club's built for. We're a team that plays. I totally understand the league campaign situation, right? It's important. I know where Celtic are, but you can't pick and choose when you've got to be in Europe.
Do you think the truth is in the middle, though, Laurie, where it's the manner of what happened the other night? So let's say Celtic lose 2-1, play quite well, lose 2-1, lose 1-0 in Stuttgart, slip out quietly and gracefully from the Europa League, and then, as you say, fixture congestion's not there, focus on the league, that's fine. But the other night was damaging because of the number of goals conceded, this underlying situation now with Kasper Schmeichel. Even if you think you want to stick by him, it's now become an issue because of the other night. You've got Martin O'Neill saying elements of the fan base need their head checked. So the silver lining doesn't look that silver right now.
Listen, Gordon, I believe implicitly in the blessed Martin, and Martin I trust. If we go and play an understrength side in Stuttgart on Thursday, that is of no consequence to me. I'm looking ahead. There are 30 million reasons for Celtic to win the league, i.e. the money gained by entry to the group stages. If Martin O'Neill manages to pull this off after the debacle that was Wilfred Nancy, to me, that will relegate the raising of Lazarus from the dead to a warm-up act on Britain's Got Talent.
But in the meantime,
Celtic,
Laurie,
can't be an underdog story.
No,
though, Hugh.
No,
I've said
no,
this earlier.
No.
I know they've had a bad season, Wilfred Nancy, etc. But we can't have a Celtic or underdog sort of thing.
The bottom line here, the absolute bottom line, is that from tomorrow until the 8th of March, there is a doomsday scenario. Celtic go out of Europe, which they obviously are about to do. They go out of the Scottish Cup because they're playing Rangers at Ibrox. And they lose to Rangers and Aberdeen, and you can forget about the championship. From now until the 8th of March, the whole season is on the line, and the rotation of games, Hibs is crucial tomorrow. Stuttgart is crucial in the sense that I wouldn't like to be going to Ibrox having had a 5-0 hiding in Germany.
Thank you to Laurie. We'll speak to Chris and Greenock when we... After they play... Your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line. I've got ambitious plans for the final part tonight. I'm going to try and hear from some of today's managers. Going to try and preview Livy Rangers and take more calls as well. So let's crack on with Chris and Greenock. Hi, Chris.
Hi, guys. How's it going? All right.
All good here. Are you well?
Yeah, I'm well. I'm just going on about Kasper Schmeichel, about the other night there, how people were jumping on the bandwagon, booing him and et cetera and stuff. Mm-hmm. Need to get pass marks tonight. We got absolutely hammered on the park. Not one player in that park got pass marks. Obviously, a goalkeeper gets the blame because of a few errors, but going how tight the league is, we need experienced players on the park. And Sinsalo's a reserve goalkeeper for a reason. We need experience on the park to chase this title down.
What about form, though? I mean, like, yeah, obviously in an ideal world, experience is good, but, like, to what point? Because as an example, right, I'm being extreme here. But if he makes another two mistakes tomorrow and another two the next day, are you just going to keep saying, but he's experienced? He must wear off at some point.
But has he been that bad? I think a lot of people jumping on a bandwagon.
That's a fair question.
I think Chris makes a very salient point. The Schmeichel issue is unavoidable. Absolutely unavoidable. However, Celtic's problems run deeper than a poor goalkeeper. They are poor defensively. They are non-creative in the middle of the park, non-combative in the middle of the park. And up front, there's nothing happening. In the wide positions, nothing happening. Schwanchara is trying his best. Bit of a handful, but gets no service. Celtic have problems everywhere.
But the thing is, you need a quick fix.
Yeah.
You know, in any kind of deep-rooted problems or whatever are harder to come by. If people are saying we've got a problem and go change the goalie. Now, that's why it's an easier debate. Nobody's pretending he's the only person to blame. Of course he isn't. But if you're trying to fix something for tomorrow and have an impact, it's an easy suggestion to make.
Yeah, it is. I think that is an easy suggestion to make, and there's obviously the question mark over it, because Schmeichel has been to blame for certain goals. But I think Chris makes a brilliant point with regards to Celtic were second best on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. Again, in a number of areas. I watched them in the first half against Kilmarnock on Sunday. The defence does not help Kasper Schmeichel. When you're going through a bad period as a goalkeeper, you're looking at your centre-halves to protect you. Again, stop shots coming in, make sure you've not got a lot to do in a game. I look at Trusty on Sunday, mm-hmm. there's balls getting kicked up. He's misjudging it, bouncing over his head.
That's what I mean, he almost has to play tomorrow.
Yeah, but again, from a goalkeeper's point of view, you want a little bit more protection. You're actually saying to the guys in front of you, look, try and help me out here. I'm going through a sticky period. I'll hopefully come through it. But the guys in front of him don't give me much confidence either.
Seems like a balancing act, though, Hugh, because he's some of the shots that he let in the other night.
Yeah,
I don't think any defence is going to stop those types of shots coming at you. You know, it's not like he was exposed with players running through one-on-one time and time again. It wasn't like that.
Yeah, my assertion remains, if he's an honest professional, he should go to Martin O'Neill and say, I shouldn't be playing. But he won't, and therefore there's every likelihood
they
that
have told
play.
You that literally no player does that.
And that's fine. I'm glad to receive their information. But I go back to the point, you know, Trusty and Scales, do me a favour. And the idea of Celtic playing a weakened team, you know, the congestion fixture congestion that Laurie was talking about earlier. The idea that Celtic play a weakened team makes me laugh, because Celtic already have a weak team.
It's weaker though. Yeah. That's the point. It's players that wouldn't start a game.
But you're still in a position. I know what you're saying to you, and everybody looks at the other night. Forget one thing. Stuttgart were excellent, top side.
Do you think that they were though?
Yeah, I think they're a decent.
That's what confused me about the other night. I thought. Believe it or not, despite losing 4-1, no, I didn't think Celtic were like horrific within the game. I thought they got some big moments.
I just thought they, away from home, they're big, they're strong, everything about them taking it. I just thought they had a good balance and good players all around the park. But I'm going to touch on, everybody's having a go at Celtic here, and because of what happened the other night, if they go and win their two games that they've got in hand against Hearts, they're joint top of the league.
Yeah,
you know, so you've got still got to take that into consideration. And if they go joint top of the league, and if Rangers had to drop in and they'd beat Rangers, all of a sudden you'd be going Celtic are firm favourites to go and win this championship.
We've done a lot on Celtic there. What about Rangers tomorrow, Cammy, heading to Livingston? Probably without Ryan Nadiri. I actually think there's a suggestion he might make it. He did miss training yesterday. Dejan Sterling is injured by the looks of things. What do you make of that task?
Yeah, listen, for me it's a game Rangers absolutely need to win. It'll be difficult in periods, but it's a game I fully expect them to go and win comfortably. Because you look at Livingston, I know our friend Miles in charge now, but you look at Livingston, they've won one game all season. So there's no evidence to tell me that Rangers, the form that they're in just now, aren't going to go there and steamroller over Livingston. It'll be tricky, they need to get that goal probably early within the game. But I fully expect them to have far too much for Livingston tomorrow.
It'll be like all games at Livingston, Cammy. You'll get conjunctivitis watching it. But in the end, the team with the better players.
No. Somebody didn't watch Motherwell at Livy a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, passing masterclass.
Yeah. Brilliant they were.
The new pitch is slick.
Yeah.
I agree, this season.
I agree with the boys. Like everybody used to say, go to Livingston's a hard game. No, it's not. Go there, right attitude, play to your form. Rangers will pick up 3 points. I'm not saying it's got to be really comfortable, but I am not expecting a shock there at all.
Livy, performance level wise, looked a bit better in the last couple of weeks, would you say? Celtic Park.
Well, they took Celtic all the way, and they needed Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain to get them out of trouble. So they took them all the way. They were 2 down to Dundee last weekend. Within 15 minutes, it was 2-2. There's a bit of resilience about the side, but I just have to think that Rangers on the back of a 4-2 against Hearts will believe that they can go there and maintain their challenge for the title.
Let's hear from some of the managers today then to finish us off. Neil McCann saw his side, Kilmarnock side, get a late point at Tannadice.
To be honest, we weren't at our best today. I have to admit that. I think we're much better than we showed today. We still try to play, fair play to the boys. I'm absolutely delighted with a point though, and it shows that there's a real spirit in this team. A real spirit. When it looked like maybe the game would go, they come up with a brilliant goal. So happy for Big Marley as well, but so happy for the boys, because when sometimes you don't always get what you feel you deserve, like last Sunday, and maybe today, I think maybe in reflection, Jim might feel like he should have 3 points, but this team just look a different beast in terms of what's going on, both in their heart and what in their mind. So they actually got me out of jail a wee bit today, because I made a poor decision. It was on me. I was telling an instruction to go into the field that was carried out, and it left that left side open, or their left side or right, and the boys scored a worldie, so that's my mistake.
A good point for Kilmarnock. Is every point a good point at the moment, or how do you view that result today away from home?
Yeah, no, I think a point on the road's good for Kilmarnock. The form away from home has not been great this season, so Neil McCann needs to turn that around between now and the end of the season. I think getting any points on the board in any games for Killie is really, really important, and especially with a late goal. You know what I mean? That's a big moment. It'll give belief to the players going forward and the games they're going to face.
Here's John McGlynn, who lost at Tynecastle. Hearts, a vital win for them in the title race.
We're frustrated with our performance. We didn't really do enough to win the game. We got ourselves into some good positions in the first half, in the final third, but created very little from it, which is disappointing, because we had some good play to get to these positions, so we've not got any real with the result. The results, Hearts deserve to win the game, absolutely. Scott Baines made 2 or 3 good saves in the second half that probably kept the score down, and so we didn't really, it wouldn't have taken an awful lot for us to do a bit better in the game. We didn't take responsibility very well in the final third.
Funny how that Rangers fan phoned earlier and said Hearts didn't deserve to win the game, but the Falkirk manager thinks they did.
Well, there's a surprise. But that's the way we roll in this particular city and part of the world. The deeper we get into this title race, the more bizarre the complaints and observations will be.
Sum it up, Gordon, today. What have we witnessed?
Yeah, I witnessed important 3 points for Hearts. You heard the Falkirk manager saying they deserve to win the game. Dundee United, Kilmarnock, I think that's a good point for Kilmarnock away from home. Keeps them in touch. Looking forward to tonight, St Mirren and Motherwell, another big game. And then a blockbuster tomorrow, Rangers Hibs, Livy Rangers. Sorry, Celtic Hibs, Livy Rangers.
Busy day for Rangers.
A double day. But I think the big two in Glasgow will pick up the 3 points.
You almost forget about that game tonight. It's 7:30 on a Saturday night. Takes a bit of getting used to, Cammy. What do you think, St Mirren, Motherwell?
Yeah, listen, I've got to fancy Motherwell. I think they're off the back of a disappointment midweek in the cup, getting put out. But I'm pretty sure the manager will get them on the road again, going the way they've been playing. They've been fantastic this season. It's not going to be easy, because St Mirren are scrapping for their lives. So I'm really looking forward to that one tonight.
And the good thing is, Hugh, because of how brilliantly this is all set up, whether Rangers did brilliantly against Hearts, and whether they've got the momentum and whatever potential scenario there is that sees Celtic league position improve, the pressure is on those two tomorrow after what Hearts did today.
I think the pressure is greater on Celtic because of what happened midweek and because of all that's going on around about the club. I think there's massive pressure on Celtic against Hibs, and I think that could be a draw. I think, as I said, the game at Livy will be what games at Livy look like, and Rangers will win narrowly.
Looking forward to it anyway. Whatever you're doing this evening, enjoy yourself. Tomorrow it is all set up. It should be an absolutely fantastic day yet again. We'll see what happens between St Mirren and Motherwell this evening, and then on to the latest edition in the title race. The guys have got you covered from 4 o'clock until 7 tomorrow afternoon, and the GBX is up next.